Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Can you believe Lauren and Mick that they're ranked 18th for clearances of Tigers? This premiership juggernaut can't win the ball out of the middle. Koch and Martin, we bang on about them all the time. They win the ball, Mick, from half back.
Hello and welcome to the Round 18 Super Footy Podcast, where the top four is really starting to take shape. And it'll all be about Richmond versus Collingwood. 1:45 p.m. this Saturday. I reckon they can break the record, Jay and Lauren, as I introduce you both, set in 1977 of 92,437 when T-shirt Tommy somehow was coaching Collingwood.
1980 grand final, Mick, Tigers and the Pies. How can we forget? It's the biggest game between these two clubs since then. Clearly, Tigers first on the ladder. I think Collingwood can cause an upset
Scott Pendlebury's PR agent.
Right, they've got the weaponry forward and the speed, Mick, so it's going to be a fantastic game. 81,000 currently forecast. Might even be more than that.
Interesting how they come up with those numbers, isn't it? I'm always fascinated by where they pull 81,000 from. But traditional-ish time slot, of course, 1:45 at the MCG. I know the fixture has copped a bashing this year. I know with your team on Friday night at Etihad Stadium, for example, Mick, but they couldn't have got this one more right. Collingwood, they've covered their losses.
Well, they could have played it on Friday night.
But... well, they could have. But I like the two traditional rivals going at it in the traditional time slot at the home of footy, the MCG. So it should be an absolute belter. The way Collingwood have been able to cover those that have gone down, Lyndon Dunn and co. Obviously, your mate, Scotty Pendlebury, did a bit of work on a pigeon yesterday.
Will
so he might have
be cleared to play?
Well, it was intentional and high.
The most magnificent part of the whole pigeon gate is that it was with his right hand, Mick. Oh. Scotty's a left-hander. He can do it on both sides of his body, mate. On his right hand is a great photo.
Is he an A grader?
Mike Sheen will be listening to this podcast. No. He'll be thinking, I might have stuffed that up. Of course he's an A-grader.
All right, well, take us through how the game's going to unfold then, Jay, if you're so obsessed with
Collingwood. I've got the stat of the year for you, Mick, and listeners.
Because Richmond are going for the record, by the way.
Yes, 18 straight at the MCG. But can you believe, Lauren and Mick, that they're ranked 18th for clearances of Tigers? This premiership juggernaut can't win the ball out of the middle. Koch and Martin, we bang on about them all the time. They win the ball, Mick, from half back.
Stats, that's lies and damn statistics.
It is an interesting stat, though, when you look at the way that they then go on and play. Like, that incredible pressure, they absolutely suffocated St Kilda with it on Friday night. Yes, it works for them, but if they're not winning the clearance, are they just doing it out of necessity?
Are you saying it's deliberate? Are they tanking at
this? This is what they do. They put numbers behind the ball. They get seven or eight players behind the ball. They put pressure on the opposition. They win it at half back, and they repel quickly. So what Collingwood has got to do to win this game, Magpies fans, is they've got to use the ball well. They've got to slow the tempo, Mick. They've got to hit those targets. Stevenson, Will Hosk and Elliott. They've got speed there, and DeGoey. If he's not one of the top 10 players in the league right now, I'll go he. He was outstanding against North Melbourne. Four goals again against the Kangaroos. Mate, he can do it. DeGoey versus... Listen. The matchup of the season, Mick. DeGoey versus Rance at MCG on Saturday. The matchup of
Rance,
the year.
Yeah. Grimes will go to DeGoey.
No. Well, we got Majacek and Cox.
Well, okay.
And DeGoey's the floater.
All right. Do you think, Lauren, that Richmond are a better team this year than when they won it last year?
Oh, geez, that's a question without notice. I would say yes. I would say that even this time last year, as I said, you know, they did the job on St Kilda Friday night, but they were absolutely trounced in that same game last year. There was still, I feel like, a little bit of, do you reckon we really can? And not only in fans like yourself. I know I sit opposite you, and I know for a lot of you at this time last year, there was still that element of, I still don't think we can. And I feel like there still was that in the group. They built an incredible harmony among their players. But maybe it was just that sort of 1% or 2%, whereas this year they go, no. We've done this. We know exactly what it takes to win. We're now clear at top of the ladder and clearly the team to chase.
Okay, so then, Jay, why...
I'll tell you the difference, Mick. tell you the difference. Yep. Jaden Short off half back, right? The run and carry game. Yes. The speed, the position off half back, right? He's had an extra leg to that defensive half. And secondly, Kane Lambert. If you're Gold Coast Suns, you got all that money, you pick up your $800,000, you put it in one bucket, you go to Kane Lambert's house down there in Swan Street and you say, listen, Kane, we're going to pay you that much.
How much?
To come up here, $800,000 he'd be worth. He's the fifth Bernard Richmond. He would be the best player at Gold Coast. Why is he so criminally underrated, Mick? You watch him every week. He's a superstar.
I think he should
undercover.
Be in all Australian conversation, I
how
reckon.
Good is he, Mick?
How many are you going to have in this year?
Well, I don't know, actually. That's a not good question many. Because would Dusty get in, Lauren?
Oh, I've heard that talked about recently of whether I still think he would.
Still, yes.
I still think, and it's, you know, I know it's been talked about with Gary Ablett as well, that even his sort of pass mark game is still fantastic, and he can absolutely turn the game on a dime, and I think that's exactly what we reward with all Australians. So I'd have him in at the moment.
Who else would be in?
Still a little while to go.
You'd look at the back half.
Rance would be in.
Rance would have to be in, captain last year.
Why wouldn't Asprey and Grimes be in as well? Like, it could be the whole Richmond back line.
Jack Riewoldt would have to be in.
He would have to be in. Would you rather Ben Brown or Riewoldt?
Ooh.
Ben Brown would win.
Well, just because
Coleman.
He's kicked more goals.
I'd take Jack. Well, the form is in at
play,
the moment.
Of course. They could both play. Tell you what, Tommy Hawkins is making a late run for that anyway. Now, Jay, you're obsessed with this being a super round coming up, not just the Richmond-Collingwood game. Why?
We've banged on about rules for a good seven. That we've squeezed that lemon. You know, you put your lemon on your
chips.
We're
bringing the lemon back.
Are we? Okay, the lemon's coming back. But anyway, this round, it is the round of the season. You look at Friday night, you've got Essendon, Sydney, everything on the line. Saturday, as we said, Melbourne versus Adelaide. Melbourne could miss the finals for the second year in a row, and it would be a big black mark against Simon Goodwin's name, to be honest, because he's got the tools, Mick and Lauren, to get into the finals, and it's been a disappointing season for them so far. Not to really take their opportunities. Well, hopefully they should, but the footy this weekend is as good as we've seen all year. So I think
you're talking Gold Coast Carlton?
Well, even that is a bit intriguing, isn't it? I mean, Carlton's going to win the wooden spoon. They were shocking again today, but you would think we're going to park the rules chat and just talk about the footy for the next couple of days.
Essendon, Sydney, yep. Adelaide, Melbourne, which is massive, and then North West Coast. There are some top eight shapers there, Lauren.
Absolutely. I know the top four you mentioned before, but, geez, that bottleneck, it just gets more and more adjoining it by the week, aren't they? In percentage, we saw Hawthorn.
They keep stumbling. That's why all these
I reckon 12 goals win came in handy for Hawthorn, that percentage.
Yes.
I'll put that in the back pocket and take that back to Waverley Park with gusto. But, yeah, it's going to be a percentage game from here on in, isn't it?
I reckon we put a line through North and the loser of Adelaide Melbourne. I reckon this weekend, the loser of Adelaide Melbourne
shape around.
And North... If they lose to West Coast, I reckon they both get a line through them. Big
Melbourne, they're guaranteed to win over there.
Really?
Absolutely
do
guaranteed.
Do you want to have something
I'm
on
with
that?
Simon Goodwin when he said we're that close, it's not funny.
Mm.
And I think that they've still got the weapons, if they can get there, to challenge Richmond.
Mick, what happened
far
in that
more
last,
than Collingwood.
Mick, what happened that last quarter when Tom Hawkins caught fire? Oscar McDonald,
how
right?
How was that play, by the way?
Yeah, it was a great
Let's
play.
Let's talk about that game
no,
now.
No, but how Oscar McDonald, right, that's the big weakness for this Melbourne side. And when the game was on the line, he got outmarked how many times? He gets goals scored on him. Melbourne has gone to Sam Frost to help... To support that back half. But Jake Lever's gone down with a year-ending knee injury.
Yes,
there's still a big question mark on that Demons' key defensive setup.
It is that thing, isn't it? The recent years we've heard their coaches say, well, this is just where this group's at and, you know, these things are going to happen. But that's why I was really impressed with Simon Goodwin after the game, where he just came in and said, we're just sick of it. We're sick of losing like this and we're not going to stand for it. And I think that was a really great statement from him. It'd be interesting to see whether they're a bounce-back side. We know Geelong, particularly, we've seen in recent weeks, they are typically a bounce back side after a loss like that and chat about them. So whether Melbourne is will remain to be seen.
Mick, this is the most awkward question of the weekend, right? This is it.
The pigeon?
We'll get to that later. A minute after that loss, Bernie Vince and former teammate Patrick Dangerfield were having a good old laugh.
Oh, good on them.
With each other. What? Is that a problem or not?
Not for me. And I saw Paddy Dangerfield tweeted, well, I'm not allowed to talk to one of my best mates about our families.
Yep.
We don't get to see each other. But you can see why supporters who are kicking the cat would be disappointed
about
it.
Put the membership in the microwave.
Yeah, so, but, you know, I think he's entitled to have a chat to they were former teammates, were they not?
You look at Nathan Jones, and he's devastated. You look at Christian Petrarca, he's almost crying.
That
Is it okay that Bernie Vince is dead set having a laugh.
You're asking the question.
I think it's easy for us to say he's dead set having a laugh when we're watching the vision. We don't know what's being said. You know, there's two mates catching up after the game.
As you said,
they're going to each other's weddings, all the rest of it. There's no doubt us saying that Bernie Vince, you know, of course he was upset. But I don't think taking a moment after the game to catch up with a mate, you know, you can park it for a minute.
If it was a younger player, it wouldn't be great, I reckon. But it's only because those two got a friendship. It would be a bad look if it was a younger player.
Well, of course, if they've got a friendship. Yeah, I think it's completely different if it's two players that don't know each other and then it's, hey, what are you doing tonight? You know, it's, completely different context.
All right, we're introducing a new segment with 7 weeks to go called Trade HQ, which goes with our online stuff. Now, Jay, what is going on with Andrew Gaff?
I think he's staying. In fact, I'm 98% sure he will play at West Coast next year. I've spoken to the Melbourne clubs who are in the race for Andrew Gaff, and it's consistent with all of them. They are very pessimistic about landing him next year. So,
in recent days, is it?
In recent days. So he's
since the Nat Nui injury.
Yeah, exactly. So unless something really goes foul from here or an offer comes from the clouds, Andrew Gaff, I am 98% sure, will stay at West Coast. So that is very much the strong signal being emitted from the Andrew Gaff camp at the moment. But that's not all surprising.
Who's his manager?
Still heartbreaking, though. If you're a Saints fan, you know, they think they're right in the mix.
There?
And then you look at Friday night, he would have just been a nice little ace up the sleeve.
Does that surprise you, though? That he's going to stay at a top two team where he's happy. He's got a Perth girlfriend.
Perth's all right too. I don't know. It's pretty warm over there today, I think. Pretty nice place to live.
Perth, yeah.
Are you surprised, Mick?
I haven't really followed it, but he's been hotly linked to North Melbourne.
Yeah, but when you finish...
You need to land one of these players, which leads me to my next...
The war chest keeps opening.
It is the war chest in zoning in, Jay, I heard you say somewhere on the weekend.
Yeah.
Angus Brayshaw.
Somewhere. I'll tell you what, he's absolutely flying, Angus Brayshaw.
He is a gun.
He's gone past Petrarca. We've talked a lot about Petrarca. Clayton Oliver's the young star at Melbourne. But Angus Brayshaw, his past 3 months has been exceptional.
Yep. He was great on Saturday night.
He was flying. Yeah.
Couldn't get into the team at the start of the year.
Now, the query
here... Had the concussion issues.
Why was he in the VFL for the first four rounds of the season? I don't think he was happy with that. Simon Goodwin puts him in the twos, you know, to sort of get his game going, etc.
But since then,
Mick, his price tag has gone
through
the
roof. So it
worked,
playing him in the VFL.
Well, yeah, that's perhaps right. Perhaps that is good coaching from Simon Goodwin. But right now, North Melbourne has got about $400,000 a year on the table. $700,000 a year for at least four to 5 years for Angus Brayshaw. And from a North Melbourne perspective, with Jack Zeeble going forward now, Lauren and Mick, I think he's a perfect addition to this North Melbourne side. So, look, gut feel is he stays at Melbourne, but it's pushing his price tag up and they're right into him, Mick. And I think it's a good call from the Roos.
I think it's really clever. It's exactly, you know, they've missed out on Dusty, they've missed out on Dugowie. Maybe they need to sort of shift their focus. I really rate Angus Brayshaw. Mm. He comes from a great family too. He's got, you know, everything sorted off the field. He went through those concussions, as you said. His poor mum had to go through a bit of hypnotism, I think, to be able to watch him again. She used to get pretty nervous, Mrs. Brayshaw. But good on him. I think he's come along in leaps and bounds, and he'd be duly rewarded.
He'd be a great pick-up. It'd be a bad look, I reckon. Crossing a how often does it happen they cross town in Melbourne? Usually the players from interstate.
Right. Let's talk about the numbers, Mick.
Melbourne can't let him go.
Melbourne offer him 500 and North offer him 800. Should he go or not?
Well,
5 years.
If it's 300,000 a year, you probably have to consider.
Would you take that? I'd take that.
Yeah.
Be hard to knock back.
Tell me what's going on with Tom Lynch. There was a report during the week that he'd actually met with Richmond players and officials. Yeah. Which would be unusual, I would have thought.
Really?
We bumped into Barmy at the airport,
didn't he?
Well,
apart from that tour of of Lin Jong. He toured, he got busted touring the Holden Centre by Jay Clark. He just happened to be there with a long lens.
It was a great story. But it makes sense, doesn't it, Mick? If you are going to go to another club, logic suggests you are going to have some interaction with a club you're about to join for $1 million a year over 6 years. So I'm not surprised by that.
Like, well, you look at any job. You go and you meet, you have coffee, you have interviews.
Let's be mature about it. Do you reckon
Saturday's
like
result would... Well,
no,
yes.
He's not even playing me.
Yeah, the look factor. I mean, it is, you know, it's a game about the optics. And we
you think
that.
He's going to stay, Mick?
No, I don't think he's going to stay.
Don't get caught
doing it then.
Just talk on the phone is what you reckon.
No, just go to Dusty's Mansion. And just do it there.
Meet up there. Do you reckon Saturday's win over Sydney?
It's like your Lin Jong story, mate. It's just it's not a good look for a captain of a club to be seen having dinner with other players.
He's not playing.
Doesn't matter. He's a captain.
Yeah. B, we all know he's going to leave. And C, if he's going to make a decision to leave these one team to join the other, he probably should have a chat to him at some point.
But what about the other captain? Is he leaving as well?
No, I think that'd be harder because he's under contract.
And what about the other captain, the other vice captain? Ralphie said David Swallow.
Yeah,
no. Well, he said that he is. And, you know, if those blokes all walk out the door, I know it was a great win by Gold Coast.
Does that make it? That's what I was going to say. Does that now become a factor? Or is it one out of the box? Do we just.
They got to win at some point.
Well, it's good to show they had fight, didn't it? Like, they lost 11 in
a row.
And I'm thinking they've all. Checked out, but there was all these reports of players leaving.
Stuart Dew is the right man for the job. Credit to him.
Him too, getting one, you know, the master and the apprentice. Of course, he trained under John Longmire.
Yeah, the intellectual property was used, do you reckon?
Jared McVeigh. So Sydney's are adamant that he's staying at the club, yet McVeigh says at the weekend that he absolutely wants to play on next season. Is that awkward?
So they said he's staying as an assistant coach.
Or they will reassess at the end of the year, but he has a coaching deal lined up. McVeigh says at the weekend he wants to play.
Mm.
And as I understand it, McVeigh and Drew may have had a chat at some stage recently.
He's a very good player, but if Sydney...
might have been just catching up with the kids.
Just shooting the breeze.
If Sydney are falling off the cliff, as it appears, then they don't need to be signing up players like Jared McVeigh going forward. They need to go backwards a little bit with kids, obviously not Buddy because he's there for 5 years. But if the signs are that they're in decline, which you'd have to say losing to Gold Coast is not a good look, 157-1 at quarter time, I would think not. So maybe he does go to the Gold Coast.
Where he'd be perfect, would think.
It's Luke Hodge
leadership.
Exactly.
I spoke to Cameron Rayner a couple of days ago. I said, what do you love about Luke Hodge? He said, just picking his brains all the time about this, how calm he is, how composed he is. He said he was a late withdrawal at the weekend, had absolutely no idea. He was just so committed, focused on the team. Hodge has been a big win for Brisbane. No doubt. McVeigh could be the same for the
Someone
Suns.
Said he should have been in the grandstand, but that's ridiculous. Now, stupid. Lauren, you were down at the great game, Geelong-Melbourne. The ruck nomination situation is... now moved into the farcical stage.
It absolutely has. I know Jay thinks the lemon has been squeezed completely dry, but there's a few more drops left in the rules lemon.
Yeah.
Of course, we'll just explain it for those that haven't seen it. There was a ball, a boundary throw-in, I should say. Max Gawn, of course, puts his hand up quickly and says he'll be rucking for the Demons. Patrick Dangerfield, sort of a half puts his hand up that he'll be going up for the Cats. His opponent, Angus Brayshaw, has done what any smart midfielder would do. You look at the stoppage. Who's the most dangerous player here at the stoppage? Well, it's clearly Patrick Dangerfield, so I'm going to block him, shepherd him out of the contest. Didn't realise that he'd nominated for the ruck.
Is that a free kick anyway?
Free kick straight away.
What he was
doing? See, that's what I wondered. I think the free kick was there and good on Patrick Dangerfield. If there's a loophole there in the rules, by all means do it. But, of course, harsh penalty given the position on the ground. Kick the goal. Well,
yeah.
In the spirit.
It's probably not in the spirit of the game, but it's all power to you. I think it's clever.
It was clever, yeah.
The thing is, the umpire said...
it's a stupid rule.
Paddy is up versus Gawn. So it was up to Angus to hear that.
To hear it.
This rule is a dollar one to be banished, I reckon, for next year.
It should be banished now. I don't understand why you can't just have two rucks who go up, and if a third goes up, it's a free kick against.
Penalise them.
Why do you have to nominate? Can someone please email in from AFL headquarters?
Yes.
And just tell us why there's a nomination thing. I think there's something we're missing.
Particularly when we're in a situation now where all of the talk is about the optics, the aesthetics of the game, the congestion and time wasting. And yet now we've got this rule where we've got to stand and wait and go, well, who's going up, please? who's going up for Richmond? Who's going up for Melbourne? Can you please put your hands up? And so then that just brings more and more players to the stoppage and look at what we've got. I say throw it up straight away. If three go up, penalise them. But I think players are smart enough to talk to each other and know, say, righto, you're in this one.
It would make no difference if it was just two players up and you penalise the third player. No, no difference at all.
100%. Now, the other one's runners, Jay, where they say it every year, oh, yeah, we're going to ban the runner.
Yep.
And then nothing happens, and then 10 weeks later we hear it again. It's like Good Friday football.
Mick, if runners aren't restricted next year, I'll come and pave or landscape your South Yarra front garden because they are certain, absolutely certain to be gone in some format next year. I timed Tendai Mazungu on and off the ground yesterday against Essendon. How many minutes do you reckon he spent on the field, Tendai Mazungu?
12.
In the third quarter, it was a 30-minute quarter, Lauren. What do you reckon?
Oh, I'm going to say 21.
Yeah, good guess.
What?
17 minutes?
17 minutes on the ground.
Seconds. So
that's
more than
outrageous.
More than half the third quarter on the ground. Long time on that fat side, the opposite side of the ground, to be honest. They will be gone, and that is too much time on the ground.
It's just part of, I know they're a staple of the game and have been for so long, but the game's changed.
What's a point,
and people
what's
are
a point?
People. We know teams are rorting the system. But player, you talk to players, and they're actually quite happy to take messages back out with them when they come back off the bench.
Yeah, no, we're getting rid of
a lot
the bench,
of players.
Lauren,
they can do
so they
well
do
you, if your campaign holds up. Then yes, but even then, you talk about styles of play, umpiring, all the rest of it, filtering down into junior footy and local leagues. I watched an entire two games actually of local footy on Saturday afternoon, and let me tell you, there was one runner in particular who spent a lot of time out on the ground.
They're
all taking their pointers from the AFL.
There's just one question mark on it, and that is with young teams, it hurts them because they need that advice. So you can argue that it would help the top teams, hurt the bottom teams.
Do
that's
they
the query.
Then look at, you know, like Alistair Clarkson did it today with Hawthorn, which are obviously an incredibly well-drilled outfit. Do you think those teams then, the coaches will coach from the bench?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
All I'll say is that if you don't have runners, they can't send the message out to Zach Tui to go forward and kick that goal.
Well, he didn't know, funnily enough. He didn't know how long there was to go, and he said he asked the umpire, if the siren goes, do I have the full 30 seconds? And then he sort of stopped himself halfway, he said, and thought, no, you idiot, just don't think about it. If it goes, it goes, just kick, and look what happened. A defender, an Irish defender wins the game.
We can't get rid of them all together. We're running out of time. Jay, Ross Lyon in his media press conference was as cantankerous as ever. Who's the scariest coach to come up against?
Clearly, him. Ross, you've got to put on your flak jacket and your helmet to go on a press conference with Ross Lyon. Used to be Mick Mouldhouse was the scariest press
what
conference
in the league.
What was
the famous one with you and Mick?
I'll tell you what happened. Front row, they had just lost to Adelaide at the MCG about 8 or so years ago, and I made the mistake of saying, hey, Mick, did you think your boys came to play today? Because they had a poor first quarter.
Hard-hitting question.
He said to me, what does that mean, come to play? What do you think? We're just out in the car park? Do you think we're just sitting in our cars? Do you think we're just playing marbles out there?
What are you doing at this point?
What does that mean, come to play? I've never understood it. Explain to me, what is come to play? And I'm sitting in the front row, I'm about 21 years old, going, you.
Thinking?
Just that your mental aptitude might not have been as good early enough in the game, Mick, but now we're besties and it's all good. But certainly with Ross, the thing is with that, he puts it back on you, much like Mick. So if you ask a question, i.e. what was wrong with your back line, you have to be prepared for him to say,
what do you think was wrong with it?
Exactly.
Yes, or where are you from?
Exactly. Well, Mick Johnson should have been
retired.
You're
a genius, Shane.
You're quite clever.
So they are must-watch, but you just got to be prepared, Mick. That's
well, the only thing is on this one, Ross, you were wrong because you said quite clearly that Johnson and Pierce were going to exit the club and that the media had sensationalised that. And you have form in this area, of course, with the McQuilter, Robert Eddy thing.
Yeah. He has retired a few of his players back in the time.
He's happy to talk
that
about
we blew
retirement
it up.
In press
but,
conferences.
But if you sit in a press conference and Ross says, oh, guess what, Michael Johnson and Daniel Pearce are going to retire, you're going to write about it. That's a story, Ross. Relax, brother.
Laura, what about Port Adelaide? Seriously, I mean, they lost last week in Perth, but now they've lost to the Ferrari, which is definitely up and running again. Top four calculations.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. The Ferrari's been up on the hoist. It's had a service and it is humming along beautifully. To topple Port Adelaide at Adelaide Oval, it's certainly not good signs for the Power. But another great game from the likes of Josh Kelly. He's had another 30. Lockie Whitfield, another 30. Fantastic players to still come back in too. Jeremy Cameron's still serving that suspension.
Yep.
I think Frankenstein, I know we've said it in recent years, Frankenstein is awakening. But wouldn't be writing them off just yet.
And Jay, what about Carlton? The first half, first quarter, they were scoreless, first time in 28 years. Yep. The coach sort of backed them in after the game, but they got smashed again by 73 points. The noise is getting louder in and around
my
Carlton
view
in their worst season in their history.
Yeah, my view is that Carlton should be better than where they're at. I think they're underperforming, even with the cattle and the list they got. So if I was a Carlton fan, I'd be pretty restless. That said, I'm happy for the club to keep its top pick, and at the moment I expect that to be Vic Country midfielder. He's been likened to Joel Selwood. Sam Walsh will be the pick for Carlton.
Well, what about the priority pick when they change their mind? Surely and apply for one. Just one last stat on Carlton. Cade Simpson, 190th loss in his career today. The all-time record is Kevin Murray, 208. So if he plays on next year, he will break that record.
He's arguably a warrior. Other than Cripps and Kerno, he's their best player.
Yep.
He is an absolute gun, and I never like to, you know, use excuses, and particularly when it comes to injuries, but they couldn't have really had less go their way, could they? Of course, Cruiser last week won out of the box with the elevated heart rate. They lost Zach Fisher, who is an absolute jet, early in the game with that ankle injury. Liam Jones, who, you know, hasn't he turned things around? And he was out for, you know, the best part of three quarters with a knock to the knee. So it was a dirty day all round for them, but it couldn't be going worse for them on or off the field.
23 years.
Mick, my biggest journalistic regret of the season was falling into Carlton in their first quarter against Richmond. You know, they led them by four goals at quarter time. Mm. They played that aggressive, quick playing style, etc.
So you tipped them for the flag.
I didn't tip them for the flag, but I mean, I swallowed it all up, Mick. I thought, oh, how good is this offensive new game style? It was a mistake, Mick, and I regret it.
Well, maybe Mick Malthouse was right about you after all.
Two big stories at Essendon, Mick. One, Orazio Fantasia is the best small forward in the competition. Saw him kick five goals against the Dockers. We talk a lot about Eddie Betts, but Orazio Fantasia is the most damaging man. And are the Bombers, this is a big story at Wendy Hill, are they going to pull the trigger, bring back Joe Danaher? Because Sean McKernan's out for the season ending, with the season ending knee, hamstring injury,
Season ender, was it? Yep.
So James Stewart might come back in. But with Joey Danaher, will he play, won't he play? That'll be a big issue if the Bombers keep winning, because if they make finals, you'd be happy to have him back in the goal square.
And Tommy Mitchell's got the Brownlow stitched up, I reckon. He's at another 40-plus. I think he's done it five times this year. Allegedly only one player in the whole rest of the comps had 40.
They hurt the other team.
Well, it doesn't matter. Oh, Bucks, please. He's going to win the Brownlow. He's a superstar. I want him.
Not bad, Vic.
Okay. That's all we've got time for this week on the Super Footy Pod. We'll see you next week after the Round 19 blockbusters.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.